Good afternoon and welcome into the KXEV Bearcat Coaches Show. Northwest Missouri State spring sports are off and running, but we're also wrapping up the winter sports season. Northwest Missouri State getting set to compete in the NCAA Division II National Indoor Championships in Pittsburgh, Kansas this weekend. We'll be talking about that. Also, Northwest Missouri State men's basketball heading off to the NCAA Central Region Tournament in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Also highlighting the conclusion to the women's basketball season coming up this hour as well. Softball coming off a tough week and getting set for MIAA play. But we're going to get things rolling on today's show with Mr. 700 as Darren Lowes joins us right here to kick things off.
Time to talk baseball as the head coach of the Bearcat baseball team, Darren Lowe, is with us, along with a pitcher off of his team, Alex Slocum. And first of all, Coach, congratulations on hitting that 700 win mark this past weekend.
Yeah, thanks, John. It was a big game, and obviously it was a big milestone. Ran into Coach Churchma this morning. He just reminded me that just means I'm getting old. So, it's been a lot of games, and it's been a great run. But, you know, our guest today was fortunate. He got us the big win. He's the winning pitcher and win number 700. So, it was a good day for all of us.
Alex, what does that mean to getting the win in this game and making it such a milestone win for your coach?
I think it's a big win for us. We knew coming into the series that they have a lot of good bats in their lineup, 2 through 5. And being able to get Coach Lowe's 700th win was a big deal for me. Helped get the team on the right track after the tough skid.
Again, Alex from Liberty, a right-handed pitcher, and Darren, moving him into the starting rotation for that game as coming out of the bullpen there. Just talk about the decision to make him a starter this week.
Well, I go back to Alex's last start. You know, he last year when we were really thin on the pitching staff, rolled him into a starting role against Central Missouri. Alex was able to have a great outing. I think they snapped their 26-game win streak at the time. And, just felt like, really as the season has been going at this point, felt like he just wasn't getting enough innings. Being one of our top pitchers on the mound, we didn't have that many save opportunities for him. A little bit tough to know when to bring him in. Is that the game one, when we need 3 innings out of him, or save him till game 3? So we just didn't have as many of those situations that would call for a true closer. So felt like we really wanted to get Alex more innings just because he is one of our top arms. And felt like trying him in that game 3 starter, and, he exceeded expectations, went out and gave us a solid 7 innings, even though he wasn't conditioned for that. He kind of battled through probably the 6th and 7th inning, maybe dropped in velocity a little bit, but he continued to pitch and be effective, and felt like if we could get to that point, felt like we had a couple guys in our bullpen that were able to close it out. And I just thought he did a tremendous job. He just went out and competed, took on that role, and really, like I said, exceeded expectations.
Alex, just talk a little bit about going from a closer to a starter and the mindset there as far as how you go about to preparing for a game, and what do you prefer right now? Or is it just wherever the coach wants you?
I just want to be wherever I can help the team the most. Preparation-wise, my mindset coming into relief is I'm 1 or 2 innings I know if I'm going to close, so I'm just trying to be intense, keep that intensity up for those 2 innings. Starting, you can't really do that because you have to stretch yourself out, so I just try to stay a little bit more relaxed. Our GA Thomas gave me some good advice. I played high school baseball with him, and just stay mentally tough no matter what happens on the mound is a big thing that helped me on Saturday.
And Coach, when you look at Alex, obviously you have a lot of confidence in him being a closer and the success he's had there, but how much do you just enjoy the fact that you've got a guy like Alex can answer the call when you need him?
Yeah, I think he's very versatile as far as starting, closing, middle relief, things like that. I think he works out of the stretch all the time. He doesn't have a windup, so it's pretty easy to go back and forth to starting and relieving, being effective with runners on base and things like that. But I think the other key for Alex, he's good against left-hand batters and right-hand batters. So he's got a 3-pitch arsenal. All 3 are plus pitches. He's going to be a low 90s fastball guy. Got a sharp slider that I think we improved on this week. I thought maybe in his earlier outings, maybe his slider was getting a little bit flat. He worked on that and was very effective this past weekend. And then he's got a changeup that he can throw to right-handers or left-handers to give him a different look. One thing we started doing a little bit more with some of the bigger hitters was starting to pitch in a little bit, which we don't practice a whole lot. But I felt like Alex was one of the better ones that we call very few inside pitches to batters, but he was able to execute those and get some big outs for us with pitches on the inside part of the plate.
I would imagine as far as working on inside pitches, sometimes that can be a little bit delicate. If you got a batter in the box there, you don't want to get anybody injured by working on that type of thing.
Yeah, I think that's the mentality of throwing inside. I think two things I think go through a pitcher's mind or can go through a pitcher's mind. Number one, you don't want to hit him. You have that fear of running that ball into his thigh or doing something like that, giving him a base runner. And then I think some pitchers, you know, fear that when you throw inside, it's going to automatically equal to a home run. I think that might be the case in Major League Baseball, but I think in college baseball, you know, some of the bigger hitters just want to get their arms extended. They're looking for that outside pitch and still trying to pull that outside pitch. So when you do pitch inside and you're able to get it in there and keep it in there, it makes them very uncomfortable. And then once they start speeding their bat up for that inside pitch, then you come back with a good changeup or slider when that bat is already sped up on them. And then now you add one more weapon to your arsenal.
As you look at the entire weekend in Joplin with Missouri Southern, just kind of overall go over what you felt were some of the big keys to this past weekend.
Yeah, I think we battled every game. I think Spitz went out and gave us a solid outing in the first. Came up a little bit short offensively, starting to swing the bats a little bit better, which is a great sign. I think that'll continue to improve as we go outside, as we face competition. Zach Weiss got knocked out early. It was just probably a poor matchup for him. He really does well with super aggressive hitters, which Missouri Southern was, but they were able to cover the strike zone as well. That was kind of a tough matchup on him. He got knocked out in the second, but Xander Lovin came in and gave us solid innings in the middle of that game. Kind of showed that he's a guy that we can rely on in those situations, but came up a little bit short. And then, trying to stay positive as a group. I think that's the biggest mentality thing that we have to focus on right now. It's not what we've done in the past. We have to continue looking forward and just focus on the process of what makes us successful. And if we do that, able to clear our minds and look forward, I think we'll be all right. So keep competing, keep getting better in every phase, and, hopefully get some great weather and be able to stay on, a little bit more of a consistent schedule.
Well, when you look at it right now, just first week of March, so there's a whole lot of baseball left to be played.
Yeah, I think that's what, maybe goes through some players' minds is, I'm only hitting 250 or, my ERA is a little bit high right now. And a month from now, you'll forget about today. So you'll forget about the Central Missouris and the Missouri Southerns and things like that. You'll be focused on, the teams, that we're playing at the time. So that's one of the other hurdles of, baseball. You just have to overcome those early inconsistencies and, things change when you start taking batting averages and ERAs, and you have to kind of battle those things sometimes. And once you get into that, focus of focusing on the process, it makes the game a lot easier mentally.
One of the things we talked about before we started the interview, just with the weather in this part of the country, late winter, early spring, however you want to classify what the time frame we're in here, with the wind blowing out pretty much everywhere you've gone, it's great for hitters, but kind of tough for pitchers like Alex and the rest of the pitching staff.
Yeah, I mean, it's you got to play it, and both sides have to deal with the situation. You're going to probably give up some high-scoring games. I think, we do now. Missouri Southern is an offensive lineup, hit some home runs, but they're all solo home runs. So credit goes to our pitchers that, we walk two guys in front of that home run. It's different than a solo home run, which, we just want to eliminate those runs. So, from a standpoint of wind blowing out, you probably see a lot more balls fall in front of outfielders because they're playing so deep. And I think that's where a lot more of the hits come from than just the wind-aided fly balls. So got to continue pitching, got to throw a breaking ball for a strike, got to keep the ball down the zone and not give up those free base runners when a fly ball might leave the park.
Alex, as a pitcher, on the game days, the first thing you do when you wake up is kind of look outside and see which way the wind's blowing?
Sometimes when it's really windy, but I feel like most of the time the wind doesn't come into that big of a factor, especially if you live low in the zone. I think Coach Lowe put it well. When you're throwing low in the zone and mixing in your breaking balls, it's all about timing and messing with that timing with the hitter. And if you're living at the knees or below the knees, there's a very low chance that they're going to be able to get that ball in the air.
Alex, you come from Liberty, Missouri. Just talk a little bit about your high school career, and we'll get into a little bit about what brought you to Northwest Missouri State.
My high school career, my senior year was really what helped me want to play in college. I was a reliever for Liberty High School. Coach Bragg really pushed me and helped me along. I actually came up to Northwest for a camp and got a walk-on offer before my freshman year. And going to that camp, and I was already looking at Northwest because I was an education major at the time. Being able to hang out with some of the guys at the camp and perform in front of Coach Lowe and Coach Creason and get that offer was really big for me. And then just coming in here and competing every day has been a really good blessing these last 4 years.
Now, I know through the years traditionally, Liberty School District has been one that hires a lot of Northwest graduates to teach in that program. Did you get any advice from some of the teachers there about Northwest Missouri State when you were looking?
My senior year, I actually was a student teacher at an elementary school, and the teacher in my classroom was from Northwest, so he walked me through it. He told me how good the campus was. I'd taken my visits and stuff and really liked it. I really just liked the home culture that Northwest provides. Not too big, not too small. Just being able to interact with everybody, it seems like, on campus. I don't go a day without not seeing anybody I know. Just the teachers there, and then meeting Coach Lowe and some of my advisors really helped put Northwest like on my map to is where I wanted to go.
And academically, what's the future life for you as far as your studies here and what you hope to do?
I'm actually graduating with a sports management degree this summer. I'm coming back for grad school next year and to play another year since I have the COVID year. So I'm looking forward to that, and then hopefully going into parks and recreation and somewhere in the Midwest or really wherever's hiring.
I know it's been a tough situation to go through the whole COVID thing and getting a season canceled and everything, but I guess from one standpoint, you have to feel good that you have the ability with what the NCAA has done to allow you to get that extra year in.
Yeah, that was big. COVID year was tough. We were on the way down to Rogers that year, and then halfway through, Coach Lowe gets a call and we're heading back to Maryville that same day. The NCAA really did a good job letting us be able to come back for that extra year where a lot of us just thought we were going to lose it. And the ability to come back and continue going to school and playing under Coach Lowe and Coach Creason is going to be really good next year.
Darren, too, when you talk about the COVID year and the extra time that some of the athletes have, should they choose to take that, what type of stress or does that do on your recruiting or change how you recruit for maybe last year, this year, maybe 4 years or two ahead because of that?
You know, I think last year's seniors and probably this year's seniors coming out of high school were really in a tough spot, and we tell them that. It's when you return most of your guys that are taking advantage of that COVID year, you just don't have many opportunities. You don't have a lot of scholarship money to give. There's a lot of things that go into that. Then the next step for us, I've had conversations with most of our guys of if they're going to take advantage of that COVID year, to be honest with you. I probably talked to Alex in the fall, but kind of forgot and wasn't sure if we were going to get him back for another year. So, Alex, great to have you back next year. but it is those conversations of, our starting shortstop and one of our catchers have a COVID year to come back, but they want to stay on their path with physical therapy, so they're not going to take advantage of that year. So we've had to have those conversations of, what positions do we need to fill? Do we have people in-house to fill those positions? What direction are recruiting? Do we need to go? So it's kind of muddied the waters a little bit for recruiting and filling those voids and seeing who's going to come back. And I think we'll probably have to continue doing that for another year or two. But it's great to have these guys back and, having veteran guys take advantage of those that COVID year just helps your program so tremendously.
Well, let's look ahead toward this week. Granted, the weather makes things a little dicey as far as how the schedule is going to play out. You do have a couple home games scheduled for Tuesday afternoon with Minnesota Duluth, but I guess I still kind of look to see. Now, we're recording this on Monday for our listeners who might be listening on a Tuesday with this, so still kind of up in the air on how things are going to play out there.
Yeah, one of those late snowstorms, I guess maybe a normal snowstorm, I don't know. But got some snow, we got to get some melting. Our infield is ready to go, we're tarped. So that's kind of a coin flip. We do have some options to try to at least get one of those games in. We'll just have to wait and see. That's a big game. I think it would be a big doubleheader for us because you get to the weekends and you want to put your best guys on the mound when they're available. And, you know, of course, Alex went seven innings, Spitzmiller went seven innings, so not a lot of relievers were able to get on the mound. So we want those guys to get on the mound and get some competition so we can expand that bullpen a little bit. So we really hope we're able to play at least one, if not both of those games. And then looking forward to Pittsburgh State on the weekend. Looks like more weather rolling in. Cold temperatures, chance of snow, so we'll start making those decisions probably Wednesday about adjusting that weekend schedule. So get through that weekend. Hopefully the weather straightens out and we can get on a normal schedule.
All right. Well, Coach, thanks a lot for being with us on the show, and it's good to have Alex Slocum with us here today as well.
Thanks, John.
You bet. That's the head coach of the Bearcat baseball team, Darren Law, along with the right-handed pitcher Alex Slocum with us on the Coach's Show. We'll be back and have more right after this.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Northwest Cell on South Main in Maryville, celebrating 30 years of service. Along with nationwide coverage, Northwest Cell offers a wide selection of features, including unlimited plans. For more details on plans and devices, nwmcell.com.
Support for the Bearcats on radio comes from Rogers Pharmacy in Maryville at 125 East South Avenue. Rogers provides patients and their families with medical supplies, including oxygen, CPAP, scooters, and home medical equipment. More online at rogersrx.com.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Pitzenberger Auto Body in Maryville, providing auto collision repair and taking the dents out of accidents. Pitzenberger's also installs Ultimate Truck Bedliners. More at 660-582-4599 or facebook.com/pittsbodyshop.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Northwest Missouri Regional Credit Union, serving residents and employees in Nottoway, Andrew, Atchison, Holt, and Worth counties, Northwest alumni, and 19 school districts across the area. Northwest Missouri Regional Credit Union, today, tomorrow, together.
Support for the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store at pizzaranch.com.
Well, back on the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show here at Pizza Ranch in Maryville, talking Northwest Missouri State indoor track and field and wrapping up the indoor season coming up this weekend in Pittsburgh, Kansas, the NCAA Indoor National Championships. We're joined by head coach Brandon Masters as well as Blake Morgan, a sophomore high jumper on his team heading off to that national championship meet. Guys, appreciate you coming on. The final indoor meet of the season, it feels like December was a year ago, but it's kind of been a quick season at the same time. It's been a weird up and down year. What's this like for you guys heading into this final meet?
Yeah, Blake and I actually talked about that today. It seemed like the indoor season just snap of the fingers and it's over. Looking back, yeah, maybe the December meet feels like a long ways away, but the last bit of that indoor season just happened so quickly. And here we are in the heading down the national championships in Pittsburgh this week, and got a good crew going, and we're excited to get down there and see what we can do.
Blake, when you look at it, you know, so much of December and January is like whip myself into shape and start pumping out those big time jumps. How much of it is kind of easing off just a little bit to make sure that you feel 100% once this time of year rolls around?
Yeah, it definitely is. Even for the conference championship and this weekend, we go like 7 to 10 days out. We start to taper back a little bit and just kind of make sure we're feeling ready for the meet. It was nice this year for me because I hit a big bar early in the year back in January. So we kind of knew from then that I was going to make the meet. Didn't really have to worry about it too much. And from then it was just kind of like, all right, sit back, relax, and go have fun, go compete.
You hit that 7 foot way early in the season, so you can kind of take a little pressure off your shoulders. How big is it too heading into this one, coming off of meddling at the MIAA indoor championships and kind of taking some momentum?
Yeah, it's big. We went to Pitt 2 weeks before
MIAAs, and I didn't really have a great meet there. But coming back to get 6.11 again, get second at the meet, definitely builds the confidence back up a little bit going into the national meet. So I'm ready to go back to Pitt and kind of get my revenge there.
It's kind of weird to think we're going into these national championships, and it's just right down the road. It's an MIAA venue being played at Pittsburgh State. Coach, kind of talked about it in the other room, but just a comfortability factor of we've been here. There are some athletes coming in for the first time to this venue where, as for you guys, it's kind of old head as far as that particular campus.
It is. You know, we go down there, you know, once a year, twice a year sometimes, and, you know, being a 300-meter track with Hughes Fieldhouse, we know how to run on a 300. The markings are the same. Being down there and having run this year already, and for the most part have competed very well down there. Blake didn't have a great day down there, but, you know, coming back and having such a monster MIAA, what he won't tell you and what we didn't really talk about too much was he put a jump together and probably his best jump of his life at, was it 214?
At the MIAA?
Yeah, the big bar. Yeah. So we know he's right, he's ready to go, and it's exciting to, you know, get down there. And so having gone there and understand the meet, understand how the setup is, I think everybody feels very comfortable.
What does it take to go in toward winning that bid to host a national championship like that? How much of its infrastructure as far as is that something that would ever be on the horizon for Maryville down the line with Hughes?
Well, we're missing a few things. You know, one thing about Pitt's facility is it has a big grandstand on the home stretch that we do not have. And seating is definitely one of the biggest issues of hosting a national meet. The other is infrastructure and hotels and things. And we don't quite have enough to meet the guidelines or recommendations anyway. If we bid, we could potentially get it, but there'd have to be some changes made to be able to handle the type of you know, visitors and fans and make sure that the meet runs smoothly. A place for the athletes to warm up outside of the venue would be an issue. So is that a possibility? Of course it is. You know, that's a discussion with Andy Peterson, I suppose. But
expanding on that Hughes Fieldhouse a little bit later right. On down the line. We'll get there eventually. Well, Pittsburgh State hosting it this weekend for the national championships. We have Blake going as a high jumper, Jada Shanklin on the women's side. She won her first MIAA title the previous weekend, and she's also heading into it too. That's to be pretty good, having the high jump category really locked down for Northwest Missouri State. It can't hurt in recruiting down the line either, I would think.
You know, high jump has been a good thing for us over the past years I've been here, and I like the high jump. I think I have a good grasp of it. So, you know, it's funny about the high jump. You think you're a great coach, and then the next week you're like, what am I doing wrong? You know, it's a bar event, though. It's you have to do things correctly, and when you do, big bars can fall. And I think with these guys, and I talked about this Blake earlier, but I really teach. I don't coach, you know, and so these guys know so much about the event now that I feel very, you know, confident in their ability to assess their own jump as well. So it's really more of a partnership, you know, because Blake knows so much. He knows his body. You know, when we look at video and we have an idea, and he's like, oh, don't worry about it, Coach, I got this. You know, and it's like, okay, I don't have to say a whole lot. Then he goes and hits the bar. So sometimes it's not so much you say, it's a lot of times it's what you don't say. So.
Yeah, I have done that before. Like, even at my double A's, I looked at him, I was third attempt at 6.11. And I go, Coach, just watch this.
Yeah. I got jump. I'm over there
don't worry.
Stressing out, right? You know, and
he tries to come back and tell me something like, no, just I got it.
Just be a fan, Coach. And that's nice. You know, when you get to that point, you know, Blake and I have been together for a long time, Jada, a long time. And so we really understand each other and where we're at. And I trust them. And I think that's the big thing is I don't have to continually coach them is I trust in their assessment of the jump and know that they can hit the positions that we've been trained to hit.
You got to love the fact of the coachability, the personal responsibility side of it, and just the drive of locked in, focused to know what's coming up and what they have to do to continue to build off of that. You're not competing against each other. Obviously, the men's and women's are separate there, but is there a little bit of watching Jada occasionally and saying, hey, I'm seeing this, or her saying the same thing too of, you know, just a different vantage point along with the coaches?
Absolutely, yeah. We're always there watching each other at practice and in the meets, and she comes up and tells me something. She's very enthusiastic about, hey, you got to do this, you got to do this. And I look at her, I'm like, yeah, you're right, like I do. I didn't see that before, but she saw it, and she knows what she's talking about. So, and I'll do the same thing towards her, too. But, yeah, it definitely is. And watching her is just so much fun. It makes me happy, and then I go jump better because, like, I get to see her jump, too. And she's just absolutely killing bars right now, and it's so fun to watch.
Blake and Jada both heading off to the national championships. We're talking Northwest Missouri State track and field. I feel like I've buried the lead at this point, too, because there was some big news that came out last week. The MIAA Coach of the Year, or Coaching Staff of the Year, I should say, for the women's indoor track and field. Coach Masters on your staff, a heck of an accomplishment, an awesome award. And that's one thing, that it's not just coming out and having one good meet, but it's compiling, and obviously a great MIAA championships. Congratulations. How does that feel to be able to take that on, especially whenever you're seeing a team really break through in that conference meet?
Unexpected, you know, that was exciting. You know, one of the things that we've talked about all year is how these ladies are just, it's almost like we have to hold them back versus push them forward. They're amazing. So it really becomes an easy situation in coaching when you have a group like that, that just want to win. They want to do those things, that they want to do the little things. And going into the meet, I thought we had a chance to be, you know, third, fourth, fifth. I thought second would be tough because of, you know, Central Missouri and their strength of their field events. And, you know, you look what's on paper and you try not to pigeonhole yourself into that spot. And, you know, I didn't tell the girls that they couldn't get second. You know, we think there's always a shot. And they just went overperformed way better than, actually the second team as far as their overperformance in points on paper versus the actual meet. And, you know, that's exciting. And when, you know, Pitt and Central and Fort Hays and they underperformed, it's easy. It's a big switch of points. You know, it's not necessarily just 5 points. It's double in some cases. And so, per event. And so the ladies just went for it. And it's nice that the coaches vote on that award and they saw what we are doing and the energy. So we're so loud and, you know, it's a pretty neat award to have.
That's a big deal, a coaching staff of the year. And now you're also developing a group that everybody heading off to the national championship meet, underclassmen, folks that can come right back around and be back in this same situation next year, and quite a few like Blake that have championship experience already. I mean, this is something really you can lay a foundation for what we have to come in the next few years.
It is exciting. We are super young, and to have the type of success that we've had this year on the women's side and the group that we have coming back is fantastic. We're young on the men's side too. We just don't quite have the numbers yet, so recruiting and get a few people healthy will be nice to be able to bump those numbers. But we just don't lose a lot of people. And I think about, you know, all the guys that we have and girls that we have, and it's like we're veterans, you know, or at least a mindset. And I think I look back, I go, oh, man, Blake's been around here forever, and he's a sophomore, right? I mean, it's really crazy. And, you know, COVID has changed some of that. So some of the kids, didn't get to compete. And so they're not sophomores in the classroom maybe, but on the track they are. So it is really nice to have a team that is full of people that understand what I'm looking for, understand my mindset, and have leadership opportunities. We just have a great group of student-athletes.
One of those women student-athletes that heading off the Nationals, Lucy Toledo, the pentathlon and 400, started things off in a big way at the MIAA Championships. Is she 100%? Is she feeling good heading into this weekend?
We're not 100%. If we were, she'd probably be in the long jump as well. And so, she's a lot better than she was before the MIAA, and obviously put up a really great mark, school record in the pentathlon. And so she's sitting really good in the pen. At Nationals. The unique situation is that the MIAA was a 3-day meet, and the national championships is actually a 2-day meet, which is a little bit strange, but so she'll actually compete in the 400 prelim first, and then the pentathlon on day two, the morning of day two. So she'll have her hands full that day with, you know, pentathlon, five events, and then the 400 final. She makes the final, and then, oh, by the way, there's the 4x4 at the end of the meet. Now, the nice thing about it is we actually ran a school record, 3:44 and some change without her on it, which is pretty unbelievable. When I think about all the stuff that happened in MIAA, that might be the most mind-blowing thing of them all, because we're fifth-ranked team in the country without our top girl, who's number, three on the list or four on the list in the 400. So having her on there, I think we'd run a little bit faster, but with all the things that she has on Saturday, it's nice to know that the four women that got us there technically are going to run pretty fast.
It's kind of like that winning breeds winning. You kind of see a little bit here and just kind of keeps on rolling on down the line. So Northwest getting set for the indoor championships this weekend in Pittsburgh. It's spring break week, Blake, and you're sitting here getting ready for one more meet. Wouldn't have it any other way, right?
No, absolutely.
Northwest Missouri State will be down in Pittsburgh, Kansas this weekend for the D2 Indoor Championships. Coach Blake, thanks for the time. Good luck.
Appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you.
That's Blake Morgan, Northwest Missouri State sophomore high jumper, as well as head coach Brandon Masters joining us. We'll take a break and be back with more on KXCV KRNW.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Losh Optometry in Maryville. Dr. Ryan Losh and his staff provide patients with eye exams, eyeglasses, contacts, and sunglasses. Dr. Losh is also available after hours for emergencies. More information at 660-241-5001.
Support for the Bearcats on radio comes from King City Lumber. Their post frame and all steel buildings can be used as homes, barns, sheds, garages, or commercial buildings. More information about planning, design, and construction is at kingcitylumber.com.
Support comes from the Maryville Forum. For over 150 years, the Forum served the area with local news, sports, and information in print or online at maryvilleforum.com. More at 660-562-2424.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Maryville Shelter Insurance agent Brad Ford, a proud supporter of the Bearcats. Brad provides coverage for auto, home, life, and business, 24-hour claims assistance, and insurance reviews. More at 562-2911. We're in office at 102 North Buchanan.
Support for the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store at pizzaranch.com.
Back on KXCV, KLRNW, joined by Northwest Missouri State women's basketball coach Austin Meyer. The Bearcats wrapping up the season in the quarterfinal round of the MIAA tournament, a 52-47 loss to Kearney. The Bearcats finished the year at 17-12 overall. Coach Meyer, fantastic finish there as far as just the effort, leaving everything out there, and the comeback against Kearney just came up a little bit short.
Yeah, we battled, and that's what we said in the locker room. We're just proud of the effort. You know, almost got shut out in the first quarter. We scored 2 points, and I think we had 2 points with 7 minutes left in the second quarter. So it would have been an easy game just to say, oh, we had an improved season. We did some things we hadn't done in a while, and then just kind of coast and, you know, get beat by 25 or 30 and head into the offseason. But we didn't do that. Kids fought. We defended. We started finally making some plays and playing with some confidence. And to get that thing down to 3 and have a chance to tie it, as ugly as it was early, I think showed a lot about our kids and just the fact that they don't quit. And we have gotten better at that mentality of just moving forward, not let things that have happened before affect those next plays.
As you're watching, it's 13-2 at the end of the first. They get a couple more buckets to start the second. So sitting at 17-2. The body language, though, you look up and look at yourself in a die, and it doesn't change. The player is out there, nobody hanging their head. I mean, that says a lot, too. I know you talked about body language and the way you carry yourself on the floor, and they're actually listening in a very coachable group.
Yeah, I thought we did a good job with that. You know, we still felt like we were defending, and even when we got to the half, I think it was, 12 or 13, and it's like, hey, like we're still in the game because of how we defended. And we felt like, I mean, we knew we were going to have some struggles probably to score just because they're – you know, the best defensive team in our league, a lot of size there. We don't get those switches and stuff we normally get with McConkie, who a lot of times is big for us scoring-wise. So we knew it was going to be a challenge, but we just kept guarding. We stayed into it, and then eventually we started making some plays.
1 for 11 shooting in the first quarter. You counter that with holding Kearney to 1 for 10 in the fourth quarter. Defensively, you talk about continuing to defend. Sometimes you kind of run out of gas, too, in comebacks like that. Defensively, it never let down.
Yeah, I felt like we geared up even more. You know, we started trapping their ball screens, which we really hadn't done much throughout the year. We kind of worked on it a little bit throughout the week just to have it to go to, just because they get so comfortable with how they run their offense. So I thought we took them out of rhythm. We forced them to play a little faster than they wanted to. They turned it over, took some quicker shots, and yeah, it got us back in the game.
Do you think Evelyn Vasquez is quickly becoming one of the most annoying players for their teams? Not because she talks or does anything other than just such a pesky defender.
She is. And, you know, we've kind of talked throughout the year of, you know, when we talk about our defensive system and what we do and how we guard the ball and in gaps and where we're supposed to be from a position standpoint, well, with her, sometimes it's like, hey, you know, don't really listen to what we're telling everybody else. Just go do your thing, because she can do that. And so she really, I think it was a great game for her, because it's something we can go back and look at. Like, this is what we mean by that. You know, go out here and pick up the point guard full court. Don't let the point guard get it in so somebody else has to bring up the floor, and then just pressure the heck out of people. And, yeah, she did a great job.
And a player that, before the season started, you're like, maybe we'll redshirt. Then, she plays her way into the lineup. The duo of her, Molly Hartnett, goes for 26 points, matching a career high. You just love to see what's down the line, because both of those players are freshmen. And a lot of other younger players on this team stepped up throughout the year.
Yeah, definitely. And they're just going to keep getting better. And then with Peyton Kellerman as well, the shooting element. And you know, the good thing, you know, just looking back here kind of at our minutes throughout the season, you know, I think we're close to 90% of the minutes played by our kids this year were freshmen and sophomores. So to be able to get experience in a season like this where we had some success, I think sometimes we get a little carried away with the men's team we watch around here, that if they lose three or four games, everybody, what's going on here? Well, 17-12 record, you know, it's not where we eventually want to be. We want to get to where we're winning championships, but it was a solid season. There's a lot of teams that would take that, and to be able to have these kids now together for two, three more years. You know, we didn't have any juniors, so everybody's going to be intact here. And then we got a redshirt class too that did a great job, worked hard this whole season without playing, and then you know, picking up the leading score in school history at St. Joe Central. So you know, we're adding more pieces. We got experience, so it's going to be a big challenge for us as a staff. You know, figuring out what that rotation is going to be. It'll be a lot more challenging than it was last year, but that's also a good problem.
Yeah, that's kind of where I was going with it next, too, is it's a bit of a logjam, because you have a couple seniors go, three seniors overall, Caitlin, Jordan, Kylie Coleman, Mallory McConkey. You've got your red shirts, obviously a great player coming up from St. Joe, too. So difficult decisions for the coaching staff, but then at the same time, you've got so many players that work so hard and put in the gym. You're just hoping the cream rises to the top at this point.
Yeah, definitely. There's going to be a lot of competition. We'll even get into competition in our postseason with scrimmages, and we'll already start filming and statting, and just so we can have an evaluation and we can get some numbers down to kind of hopefully make the picture clear as we get into preseason, and then play it out through there. But yeah, you know, with the ability this year to redshirt five kids, which, you know, some of them at first they didn't love to hear it, but they understood it. You know, we explained it to them, and then they were fully bought in all season from a redshirt standpoint. But you also get into games where those five kids already know they're not going to be playing. They know their role on the bench is to cheer teammates on, bring energy, which they were fantastic at. Well, this year coming up, you know, we're not going to have that ability. So you're going to have, you know, we have, you know, 16, I think, on our roster, and, you know, all of them we feel like can play. So that's going to be a big challenge from a chemistry standpoint. We just try to be completely honest with our kids, and you know, when we do our individual meetings with them at the end of the season here, just be honest. Here's where we see you. I'm not saying that's necessarily where you're going to be, because things can change, but just be honest, treat them right, and then you know, play who we feel like gives us the best chance to win.
What are the next steps as far as off-season wise? Of course, some weight, some conditioning, that sort of thing.
Yep, give them a little time off. You know, we'll get into recruit some state tournaments and stuff, and then, yeah, get back in with Chase and Joe, our strength conditioning staff, and then, you know, continue the development stuff with Coach Houston. And, you know, right now for us, it's just kind of, we really haven't thought that much on it, is to get back in the office this week and kind of create a plan of moving forward and how we want to do things.
Bearcats over 500 for the first time since 2013. Best record since the 2011 team that reached the Final Four. Love to see the success. Also good for my job security since you were on the radio with John last year throughout the championships, the MIAA championship too. So I don't want to see you take my job just yet. So I appreciate it, Coach.
Well, you know, you guys do a great job. We appreciate everything. And yeah, I'm glad I'm not doing those games.
You're always welcome to anytime. Hop on. Austin Meyer joining us here on the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show. Coach, thanks for the time and thanks for everything throughout the season.
Yep, you guys too. Appreciate it.
It's Austin Meyer joining us here on the Bearcat Coaches Show. We'll take a break. Back with more on KXCV, KRNW.
Support comes from Nottoway Valley Bank, celebrating more than 150 years of service to Northwest Missouri. More information is available on location or online at nvb.com. Member FDIC.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Pitsenberger Auto Body in Maryville, providing auto collision repair and taking the dents out of accidents. Pitsenberger's also installs Ultimate Truck Bedliners. More at 660-582-4599 or facebook.com/pittsbodyshop.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Northwest Cell on South Main in Maryville, celebrating 30 years of service. Along with nationwide coverage, Northwest Cell offers a wide selection of features, including unlimited plans. For more details on plans and devices, nwmcell.com.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Eckerd's Home Improvement in Stanbury, serving the community for more than 50 years. Eckerd's can assist in kitchen and bathroom remodels and offers tile, hardwood, or carpet options. The design centers open Monday through Saturday and online at eckerdsflooring.com.
Support for the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and First Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store at pizzaranch.com.
Back on the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show here from Pizza Ranch in Maryville, talking Northwest Missouri State softball with head coach Naomi Tellez. Coach, coming off a tough week, doubleheader against Truman. Also, Augustana, 10th-ranked team in the country. They came through Maryville for a pair as well. Getting set right now, kind of looking at it, MIAA play is supposed to start this week, of course. Mm-hmm. The snow, the weather, everything like that. Shuffling the schedule up this week, right?
Yeah, I think right now we're kind of tentatively planning for Sunday, Monday, because that's when we're going to have the best weather. Also, has played a huge factor in all our other games. I mean, last week we played 8 games in a week, and that definitely wasn't planned, but it is what it is.
Is it nice to get a little bit more of a break and kind of more an extended week here to kind of get ready for those games?
Oh, yeah. When you're just playing, like, you just go wake up, play, do it again, and the practices are very short just because, you know, their bodies are tired and everything. So now we actually can dive in, have a decent practice. It is spring break for them, so they are sleeping in, which is very helpful too.
Well, I'd imagine it wasn't that long ago you were playing college softball. Mm-hmm. You probably love the less practice, more games, whereas now as a coach, you're like, we need to get in there and do this.
Oh, exactly right. Exactly right. I mean, as much as I loved playing, because practices were just like, you know, not as fun as playing, now though, it's like, okay, we need to actually work on things so we're not continuing to make the same mistakes.
Northwest Missouri State getting set for Fort Hays State and Nebraska Kearney coming up next Sunday and Monday. We'll touch on those in just a little bit. First, a split with Truman State last week. The Bearcats jumping ahead 4-0 in the opener. Truman State battles back. Then they score the final 6 runs of the ball game. Feels like you're that close to pulling that one out and running mm-hmm. away with it, but pesky Truman team.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we focus on doing the little things, right? And it's, you know, from that standpoint, it was us not executing pitches like we should have been. I mean, we did it in the first 4 innings, and then it kind of got away from us. But I do like how they answered back in the second game. They came out swinging as we should have in the first. But at least we walked away with a win there.
Yeah, coming out with a 16-1 win in that second ball game and really emphatically taking that one over, maybe getting out a little bit of aggression after game one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and I think, you know, they really kind of have had a switch in their mindset of doing the little things right, competing at the highest level. And, yeah, we go play the best teams, but now we know what it takes to compete against them. And, you know, beating Minnesota State on our home field was huge in knowing that we can compete with people and we should beat teams that we should beat.
6 runs in the first against Truman, 16 in the second. Does it feel like the bats are kind of getting to where you want them to be?
Oh, yeah. I think we're getting more comfortable out there. We're seeing a lot of different pitches. We're being definitely more selective because sometimes we just swing to swing, and I told them, like, go out there, swing with a purpose, you know? So I think that definitely is coming around, which is very helpful.
Abby had a fantastic weekend, too. It seems like if she gets into one, it's going to go a long way.
Oh, yes. Yeah, some of hers at Truman, I was like, that is gone.
It's nice to have some mashers up there, and the Bearcat bats are coming around. Mm-hmm. in that first game, Breck battles through four, and then Raven Dufresne comes in, struggles a little bit in relief, a grand slam ultimately does her in. Hayden Simmons is throwing pretty well. Breck Dickey out there. Is it just kind of looking for a third and fourth arm that you can lean on for a spot start or maybe some late innings?
Yeah, definitely some late innings. I know, and I even told Hayden this past week, is somehow we cannot put two starts together. We can do it, and I don't know why. We're trying to figure that out. But, yeah, I mean, it's those two definitely have thrown the majority of the innings. We know what we're going to get out of them. Raven's coming back from having surgery over the summer, so it's working through some things there. And I know Christina has had some good starts of her own, too. So definitely in conference, it's okay. Who's going to give us, you know, the best shot to win a game?
Well, and inevitably, at some point, it's going to be a tight ball game, and you're going to have to turn to someone no matter what. So much of this game is mental. How much, especially for a young player, is it just, hey, just keep pumping strikes, and it's going
to
come?
Oh, yeah, and I think with them is we try to get too perfect, or we try to overthrow, and that's when it goes south. And it's like you're not going to blow it past some of the best hitters. You know, we have to stay in our lanes and use our changeup. And once they start to really buy into that, I think they'll be really successful.
You're a catcher in college, primarily. You come up, you're a pitching coach at North Dakota. How much of what you've seen, what you've kind of developed as a coach, kind of translates now to where you're trying to pass that on to those players?
I think they try to make this game so much more complicated than it is. And as players, it's very easy to do that. And so, you know, having been a coach now and trying to simplify the game is the best thing that I can do for them, and not trying to overcomplicate what they need to get done.
So we wrap up the weekend. Number 10, Augustana comes through for a doubleheader. They're able to sweep that one. That's just running into a tough team, and you've had a really tough non-conference, and this region's just brutal.
It is. But I think game one, like, we competed. Like, we matched them in hits, and that was something to be really proud of. Unfortunately, that day the wind was blowing straight out at our field, so that makes it really short. But, we matched them in hits, and we just couldn't string them together like they did. Game two obviously was not our best work, but I told them to flush it and move on, and conference is right around the corner.
We just kind of going through our media day stuff here, and you mentioned before those first 20 games is kind of your chance to kind of get your feet under you as you really go into a long season like this. What do you do from that point? How do things kind of shift after you go past game number 20?
I think the biggest thing for us is just kind of refocusing our goals. Like, what do we want now? I've always told them conference is where it really, really matters. And so yesterday we sat down and we had some goal setting and, you know, how are we going to attack this? And now this is the second phase of our season. Now we got to get to the third phase, which is the postseason, and how are we going to get there? So just keeping that in mind.
Do you kind of wipe the slate clean at that point, too, saying, all right, Hayes and Kearney coming up, forget anything else that's happened?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I think today at practice, like, that's the sharpest I've ever seen our defense, which is nice to see.
Coming around at the right time.
Yeah, exactly.
So upcoming, we have Nebraska-Kearney. That game's been moved to Monday, correct? And then on Sunday, it's going to be Fort Hays State previous to that. Kearney's 6-11. They were picked 12th in the preseason rankings. Hayes is 10-12. They were picked 8th. These are teams that that aren't world beaters, but if you let your guard down on this league, anybody can be any given day.
Absolutely, and I think our kids are going to come out with a chip on their shoulder because – I mean, we didn't get picked where they wanted to get picked in the preseason rankings, and I told them then we need to go out and prove them right. And I think that's the mentality that they've been having, and no, we can't let down on anybody because this is not an easy conference to compete in.
Well, and you look at it too, some real genuine Maryville weather out there. It'll probably be a solid 40 degrees with the weather, the wind blowing straight out.
I don't know. I'm just hoping that the sun is out so it feels decent.
Well, Coach Tejas, thanks for the time, and good luck this upcoming week as MIAA play starts.
Thank you.
Naomi Tejas is Northwest Missouri State head coach as the Bearcat softball team taking on Fort Hays Sunday and Nebraska-Kearney on Monday. We'll take a break. Back with more on KXCV KRNW.
Support for the Bearcats comes from the city of Maryville, home to Mazingo Lake Recreation Park. The park provides residents and visitors with an 18-hole golf course, the Watson 9 Junior course, and indoor golf simulators. More on Mazingo's golf offerings at mazingolake.com.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Planet Sub on 4th Street next to Student Body. Planet Sub opens at 10:30 every morning and offers a variety of oven-baked subs, cookies, and soups, and is also available for catering. More information at facebook.com/PlanetSubMaryville.
Support for the Bearcats on radio comes from Rogers Pharmacy in Maryville at 125 East South Avenue. Rogers provides patients and their families with medical supplies, including oxygen, CPAP, scooters, and home medical equipment. More online at RogersRx.com.
Support for the Bearcats comes from U.S. Bank, providing banking services to Northwest students and the community. U.S. Bank is a proud supporter of Bearcat Athletics and Northwest Missouri State University. More on their products, services, and locations is at usbank.com.
Support for the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store at pizzaranch.com.
Welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. Talking now with the head coach of the Bearcat men's basketball team, Ben McCullum. Ben, another successful trip to Kansas City Municipal Auditorium this past weekend.
Yeah, no, it's always fun to head down to Municipal, and obviously a lot more fun when you win. I thought our first game we were really ready. Second game, just okay, and then our third game I thought we really played well again, and you know, starting to find our stride in regards to our energy, and you know, it's just important that we keep down that path.
You know, just looking at some of the numbers from a team standpoint here, overall, the 10th MIAA tournament title for Northwest, for you, the 6th tournament title. That's the most of any coach in MIAA history. And again, those are just some fantastic numbers when you look through the years and what this means for the Bearcat program.
Yeah, no, it's you know, it's taken a lot of people. You know, I always tell people that you're only as good as the people you have, and we've had some good people over the years, and you know, then we've been fortunate enough to be able to win with those and kind of keep that culture going.
Again, a lot of basketball left to be played here, but when you look at this particular team, they've just kind of grinded and found a way to come up with some big wins of this season. I think it's the same kind of thing this past weekend with the tournament.
Yeah, for sure. No, I mean, they're a tough team. You know, we're tough, and it's just not as easy as it's been in the past, you know, the past couple years where, you know, you're able to win by a considerable margin. So you have to grind out games a little bit. You have to fight through the other team's runs, and then we have to make runs of our own. And, you know, it's a little bit more nerve-wracking to coach and probably watch, but, you know, the results are the same.
And, again, this weekend, something that a lot of teams have to go through throughout a long season, too, is just battle a little bit of illness, and you guys were able to overcome that this past weekend.
Yeah, no, Wes didn't practice all week. Byron was sick. Diego was sick. I mean, we had just a lot of kids sick this week. And, you know, again, we got tough kids, and the other guys just stepped up, and we made it happen.
One of those guys that stepped up in particular yesterday was Luke Waters, 20 points. I thought he did a lot of nice things for you out there.
Yeah, he shot the ball. You know, I mean, he shot fakes more times when no one's guarding him than any player I've ever coached. It's just like, Luke, there's no one guarding you. What are you shot faking? Shoot the ball, bud. And so he was aggressive and assertive, and I thought he played really tough. I mean, he's just tough. He was good. You know, he played assertive and aggressive, and I was really pleased with his effort.
Yeah, not only the outside shot, but I thought he was more aggressive going up to the hoop inside with some nice plays underneath the bucket.
Yeah, I mean, he does that naturally when he shot fakes air. So this time he actually shot it, and you know, it was really nice. He's a good player and a great kid, and he deserves that kind of success.
You look at the tournament team too, West Dreamer. You talked about had to overcome some illness last week, despite not starting a couple games, coming off the bench and doing great for you. He was able to be named to the tournament team. You had Diego Bernard being named to the team and Trevor Hudgens, and a great representation on that all-tournament team.
Oh, yeah. You know, I mean, they just competed. You know, I thought Diego, Trevor obviously really, really led the way and competed, and you know, you could have even put Luke Waters on there. I mean, and then Isaiah in the championship defensively, Byron the round before that. I mean, we just had a lot of guys step up. It was just a fun tournament.
And a couple of tournament records went down again with Trevor eclipsing Justin Pitts for most points scored in the MIAA tournament. You also had Diego Bernard most rebounds in the tournament career. So, again, those are some guys putting up some impressive numbers.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it helps when you play the full round.
That
every time,
help,
you know,
yes.
I mean, we've played, they've all played 12 games, and so that helps a lot, and they've performed in them, and, you know, obviously Diego, a 6-foot guard, being able to win the rebounding one is pretty impressive, so, no, he's just had good effort as usual, and You know, now we just got to move on to the next.
Trevor, I watched some big buckets in that second half last night, but I thought really one of the big plays there toward the end of the game was that steal that Diego had down the stretch.
Yeah, it's a winning play is what we call that, a play that you don't have to make and maybe shouldn't make, but you made it. And that's what we call winning plays and the things that go unnoticed. And that was huge. You know, we made a lot of them this weekend, and that was a big one.
Yeah, it seemed like it was a very tough tournament field. A lot of teams coming in that had some opportunity. Central Oklahoma coming in as the number one seed. Then you had Fort Hays State team that played well. Of course, Washburn's playing well right now. And as you look at the NCAA tournament field, it's kind of unfortunate that you couldn't get four teams in the tournament. Fort Hays State really looks like a team that would be deserving to be in there.
Yeah, I think there's a way that they need to change how Division II does it because, you know, our league's so good. And, you know, I thought Southeast Oklahoma should have been in too. I mean, there's three legitimate teams that should be there. And, you know, how the numbers work out, I have no idea. I mean, you know, if you even think of it from this perspective, we're happy to be in regardless. But we've won 26 games. Augie has played 25 games, just played them. But, you know, they've, you know, maybe their strength of schedule is better, maybe their performance indicator, maybe this, that, or the other thing. And it's like, and I'm not saying we should have host. I'm saying, you know, you can, I'm just looking at it from that lens so that we don't have to compare others. But, you know, the formula is just, it's just kind of, it's odd because winning and losing should come into the equation. I understand strength of schedule is important, but, you know, at some point, do you win the games that are on your schedule and or do you lose them? And do you play a lot of them? You know, I think we've played a lot of them, had a healthy resume, and I think Hayes and Washburn and Southeast Oak, you know, that's a travesty. You know, it's just like, wow. So I don't know. I don't know what the solution is, but they need to fix it.
And two, when you look at the way the regions match up, the team that gets out of the central region really has to battle just to get out of this region, where maybe some of the other regions, it's a little bit of an easier trip to get to the Elite Eight.
Yeah, it's a lot easier trip. I would say to most of the regions, you know, I'm not saying that those teams can't win the national title once they get to the Elite Eight, but their path is not anywhere near the same. You know, the NSIC is well-funded. The MIAA is well funded. The GAC is pretty well funded. Probably not quite like the other two. I mean, you know, it's just different. There's a big difference between the schools to where you can have success and whatnot. And so, makes a big difference. And hopefully, at some point, they'll adjust it.
It would be nice if they could maybe work it the way the Division I tournament goes a little bit, where you can send some teams out of the region to some other regions to maybe balance things out a little bit.
That'd be fantastic. That would be fantastic because we've got about four teams, I think, in this one that could possibly win a national title if they make it out of the region.
Yeah, no, one time they did that back, I think, in Northwest first playoff trip back in 81, I believe, or 80. They went down to Florida and played in a region that was hosted by Lakeland, Florida. Now, unfortunately, they had to go up against the number one team in the nation with Florida Southern that particular year. But at that time, they were able to move teams around a little bit.
Yeah. I'd love to do that. Yeah, that's good. That's before I was born, John. Just dated yourself.
Well, I know it. And I covered that one, too.
Good. Good.
Unfortunately, time.
Wow, you might want to end this interview, John.
Yeah, I think this is taking a sudden turn here.
Cash in your chips, my man. No.
It's coming, I think. But let's look at the Central Region as it's playing out this particular year. You come in as the number three seed in the region, and Augustana has alluded to the host school in this. It looks, again, like it is one heck of a loaded region coming up.
Yeah, as per usual, it's certainly loaded, and I was just happy that they mixed and matched conference opponents. You know, where I think you can always do that with a 2-3 and a 6-7, and then a 4-5 and a 1-8. I think that's going to be a little bit more difficult because you flip sides of the bracket at that point. But anytime it's 2-3, 6-7, you can just flip those. And it doesn't matter because then you can get out of conference opponents, which is great.
Had a few upsets in some of the conference tournaments. So you look at Minnesota State Moorhead coming in. It looks like they're playing some pretty good basketball right now, coming in as the number six seed who you'll face in that opening round.
Oh, yeah, they're good. Good team. And obviously played well in the conference tournament, and we'll have our hands full.
Have you had an opportunity? I know it's the brackets just came out last night, but have you had an opportunity to kind of look and see what they bring to the floor?
Yeah, I've seen them before, and you know, they're really good offensively. He's a really good coach, and you know, they'll be ready for us.
Again, you've escaped from the MIAA with a conference championship, a tournament title as well coming into this. Right now, as you come into this tournament, how would you assess the way this team's playing going into this?
You know, I thought we played well last night. You know, I thought we played great. So, you know, I just hopefully you can keep that good rhythm offensively and then play defense like we did against Hayes, and, you know, everything should be good.
I guess one final thing, just the atmosphere down at Municipal Auditorium, it was always great. But I thought in the matchup last night, that was about as fun as it gets with the crowd getting into it and just the intensity of the play on the floor.
Yeah, the crowd was awesome. I mean, both teams really, it's just a good fight. You know, it was really good. I think it was probably as entertaining of a college basketball game as you can see. And, yeah, we were fortunate enough to play in it. It was fun.
All right, Ben, thanks a lot for being with us, and we'll talk to you up in Sioux Falls.
Thanks a lot, John.
And that's going to wrap things up for us here on the KXEV Maryville, KRNW Chillicothe Bearcat Coaches Show. Our next sports broadcast is coming up on Saturday at noon as Northwest Missouri State will be taking on Minnesota State Moorhead in the first round of the NCAA Men's Basketball Tournament. Pregame right here on 90.5 and 88.9 begins at 11:30 that morning. For John Coffey, I'm Matt Tritton saying so long from Pizza Ranch.